Triple M.
The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Glenn Robbins.
That's right, Glenn's getting comfortable. Are you comfortable, Glenn?
Am I allowed to speak?
Yeah, you can speak here.
Oh, I thought I wasn't allowed to speak at all in the next bit.
You're allowed 15 words.
All right. That's about
four. Sorry, that's all of them.
Okay, we're done.
You've got to spend them wisely.
Yeah.
Today, we've got some more Big Brother poetry by popular demand. Ed has demanded some K-Fed rhymes.
Yes.
They'll be coming your way. What constitutes a failed sex fair? We'll meet Chappelle Corby's new lawyer. We've got an unfortunate new medical breakthrough. And Ed's come up with a great new segment idea. What's something awesome you did? It's all coming up, courtesy of the team. Get this.
They are disgusting. I can't even find a word, but they give a lot of white people a bad name.
That's The Clash, Rock the Casbah. Good morning, everybody, wherever you may be. It's Tony Martin. It's Ed Cavalli.
Morning.
It's Get This. It's a big, fat, fake round for Glenn Robbins.
Yes.
Welcome back, Glenn.
I like a big, fat, fake round one.
Full of that. It's fatter and faker than any other show.
It still works.
It still works.
I feel better when there's fake applause there than none at all.
I know, but what are you doing? You're both snacking on. What's going on?
Our sales department had a like a get more innovation in you kind of meeting this morning.
All right.
And the result was that Glenn and I are now chowing down on a cupful of grapes.
It is pretty hard to have a cup of tea without something on the side. And I don't want to, you know, I'm out there when it comes to living on the wild side, but when I have a cup of tea, I like a little biscuit on the side sometimes too.
Oi.
I used to do a stand-up routine yes. about dipping your teddy bear in your
head
in your
first.
Cup of tea.
Head first.
Always go head first. And you got to, because if you leave it in too long, it'll break off.
Yeah.
But you get it right and you stand up, it can waver a bit. As it stands up, as long as it wavers into the mouth, you're right. Gee, that's going back 1982.
Still
not
works.
A great joke, but
not topical.
Ah.
So you can drag it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's topical at the time because the teddies had just come out and people were wondering what this new world of teddy-shaped biscuit meant for them. You know?
They used to do this thing about when sometimes the teddy would break off and then fall to the cup of tea and then you drink the rest of the cup of tea and you get to the bottom and here's Teddy lying on the bottom looking up going, what did you do to me? I didn't deserve this. I meant well.
Why are people eating grapes in the sales department? Is that this week's push for innovation?
Yeah, no, it's yeah, exactly.
Is it weird jeans to work day?
Weird grapes to work day.
We've got to work out when they're doing weird jeans to work day, and then we'll have tuxedos on that day.
That'd be nice.
Formal
nice.
Wear.
Yeah. I had a couple of friends that always wore tuxedos to exams.
Really?
Yeah. But they would have been the T-shirt with the tuxedo painted on the front.
Yeah, I like that.
Who farted painted on the back.
Glenn, the other day we had some mad bastard call us up on the program and claim that there's a show on SBS where some surgeon dissects his friends.
Yes, I came in this morning. I said, Tone, can I please talk about a show that I've seen during the week that I could not believe?
So it's real.
It's called, it's on SBS, and I forget what night, it's called Anatomy for Beginners.
Right.
And already we're away.
Yeah, I was going to say. Rock credits.
Did you just be Big Brother up late, really?
I tuned in, you know, halfway through, and there was a nude man and woman, I think, standing there, and they were projecting things on it. And when you get a bit of nude action, you hang around.
Absolutely
straight
right.
away. And they're projecting, like, organs onto the body. I'm going, this is interesting. I'll watch a bit of this.
All right.
There's a live audience there, and there's a guy in one of those gowns that you chop people up in.
Ball gown?
Right? Yeah. No, he's in one of those, a proper gown.
All right.
And it's German. Okay, I'm giving you a lot of information here.
Yeah.
But he's got the whole gear, but he's got a hat on, one of those hats that, like, Sinatra would wear, you know. And you're going, well, this is too weird.
Jaunty
anyway,
hat.
So, yeah, so the thing, projection on the body. Then they wander around, and there are these bodies literally hanging on hooks.
Oh my God. Right.
You know when you go into a butcher shop out the back and they've got the sheep hanging on the thing?
Yeah, but it's not normally your friends.
No. Well, that's interesting. That must be, you know, a rubber one. But no. And then they proceed to chop them up. And you go, oh my God, I can't watch this. This is incredible. Last week, they cut him from shoulder to shoulder and then down this. They opened him up like a sardine can.
Right.
And it was all there. All the, and then they start. Then he's going, watch this, and he puts a tube into the lungs. He's going, watch, I make the lungs work, and lungs are working. You go, oh, this is. And then he goes, okay. Jesus. Then he goes, okay, I'm going to lift out the heart, and he goes to lift out the. I'm out of there.
It sounds like Iron Chef with Hannibal Lecter.
What's going on at the start of the show? At the start of the show, it says these people have agreed to donate their bodies to science. Was there a clause that says and to be seen on television?
Yeah, do you get that on your resume? Is that a screen appearance?
Oh, yeah.
Is that an equity credit?
You've got to put it on your IMDb.
Oh, seriously, these people are lying there. I mean, Tony, when you pass away and if you donate your body to science, I might be sitting at home, or this German audience will probably watching going, that is Uncle Gunther sitting there.
Well, I'd like to be booked on the panel for my dissection.
It was incredible. And it just it's not because dead people don't have any rights. You know what I mean?
But hang on. But, okay, it's a guy and he's a surgeon and he's, you know, dissecting people. That's fine. But these are his friends. Is that right? That's what this bloke called up. He said these are people he knows.
Yes.
I don't know about
that. Have a look what I can do with Barry's lungs.
No, I don't. I think these people donated their bodies to science. Right, and they're apparently in the order. It's a bit like Friday Night Games without Mike Goldman sort of doing any hosting. There's a live audience there, which makes it even more weird.
What are they
allowed to ask questions? Can they, you know, excuse me, what's that? It's a gallbladder.
Well, you know what? I've only seen about five because I couldn't stand it that much. But I wonder at the end of the show whether or not they applaud. Because... Hey, you know what? That is a great piece of, you know,
and somewhere.
Does everyone get a show bag to take over at the end?
There's a lucky number hidden somewhere on the bloke's corpse. You've got to find it.
But have a look. I guarantee if you watch it, you won't last more than 2 or 3 minutes because
you've
got
to watch it.
Yeah.
You've got to watch it.
Anatomy for Beginners.
Wow.
Mm. That's not good.
No.
That's not good. But medical breakthroughs result. You know what I mean? They get into the human body.
Yeah.
Medical breakthroughs result like your old fashioned. Penile implants. Now,
nice link.
It's a hard working link, that one.
Not bad.
That one wouldn't stand up to analysis, I'm guessing.
Penile implant, tell me more.
Well, listen to this. This story here. A man in London whose impotence drove him to have a penile implant has discovered that his neighbour's automatic garage door gives him an erection every time it's activated. That's what it says. It's in the Sun newspaper. The garage device operated on the same frequency as the hardware in his penis. It's embarrassing. Every time the car pulls in, I can't leave the house. It's not funny, the Sun quoted him as saying.
Oh, it is funny.
Yeah. It is funny.
I must admit, when I drive up to mine, because I got one of those automatic, and I kind of go, even to myself, I go, watch this, I can open the door and keep on driving at the same time. I get excited, but I don't get a hard on.
You don't get that excited?
No.
But it could be handy, though.
Yeah?
I mean, it saves, you know, saves on the drudgery of old-fashioned manual erections. All right, Darl, are we ready to go? Hang on a second. All right, let's get started.
He's oiling the old penis.
When you hear that sound today on the show, you know we're excited by our own program. Let's get started. That'd be Eskimo Joe here at Get This on Triple M. Gee, that's a good song. Sorry if you're just tuning in. That's the sound of the program's penile implant going off by mistake. Glenn Robbins is with us. And, you know, do you get... what are you up to these days, Glenn? Are you involved in Thank God You're Here? Is that coming back? It's shrouded in mystery.
Yes, I think I can say. Oh,
Ed's not even, he's got no idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether, maybe.
He just walks around the office improvising, just trying to keep in practice.
Just show up in a gladiator's costume.
If it comes back, I hopefully will be involved.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, if it was to come back, not that it is coming back.
We can say nothing.
Yeah.
We've been getting a few emails about, do you have a ringtone? Do you have a phone, Glenn?
Yeah, I got accused by a cab driver the other day. I got in the cab and he said, that's the oldest phone I've ever seen.
It's Bakelite?
Well, it's not that bad. It's still got a black and white. It doesn't do photographs. It doesn't do email. It doesn't do. Doesn't connect up to the space station. But it can make a phone call.
Oh, wow. Is that still popular?
Whoa.
So, yes, I do, but I wouldn't know how to change my ringtone.
All right, so you've just got the one that comes with it?
I've got the annoying one that is on the TV. When it goes off on the TV, I always think my phone's ringing. I hate that. That's not my phone. Don't do that to me. Or on the radio in the car, don't do that to me.
That used to be illegal. I used to write radio ads, and you weren't allowed to have, like, a car horn. because people will be driving along and think that somebody's going them from behind.
What about a siren? There's heaps of sirens in
this. You could say thinking about sirens, or there's never been a better time for sirens, but you couldn't have an actual siren. Ringtones. We always have ringtones up on our website. The Rex Hunt one, very popular. Very actually popular. Heard that go off. I actually was at a hospital. I heard it again.
Hang on. Explain to me. Explain to me what it is.
The Rex Hunt. Well, we've put a moratorium on ever playing
it. I don't want to hear it.
No. Yeah.
But you can get it as a ringtone.
You can download it
through,
from
you.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah, you guys.
I am at the hospital yesterday waiting to have my blood removed. Nothing medical, just for a stir. No, just because I have high iron levels. Hello, hemochromatosis sufferers. Have to have the blood out every now and then. Don't have new blood put back in like Keith Richards.
How much nothing have you taken out?
It's just about 2 pints or something like that.
Whoa.
Or maybe 1.5 pints.
What do they do with it?
I don't look. Goes down the sink, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's full of iron.
You have to reduce your... And then you bring new blood.
Personally grow new blood. That's why I'm slightly dizzy today.
Is that right?
Show's sounding hilarious from where I am. And yes, I grow new blood with less iron. 1 in 250 people suffer from hemochromatosis.
And how often do you have to have it out?
Oh, about 6 times a year sometimes. Depends what the levels are at.
Yeah, the levels, man.
So I've gone in there and I'm sitting in the waiting room and I'm sitting right opposite the giant-assed wheelchair toilets.
Yeah.
And someone comes along on a wheelchair into the toilets, door shuts. And everyone's sitting there reading a magazine and trying, hoping we're not going to hear anything. And then, this is what we hear. I kid you not. The girl's happy. She's got no money. Oh, how good is this? And the bloke's phone went off in the toilet, and he's got the Rex Hunt ringtone.
Fantastic.
And I was the only one who knew what it meant.
Oh, and everyone else?
I then collapsed into unconsciousness shortly after for medical reasons. But people are saying, hey... The one you've got up there at the moment, which is this.
John Howard is as welcome in Melbourne today as a yellow-bellied black snake at a barbecue.
That's Union Leader Brian Boyd. He's a popular ringtone. That sounds great if it goes
excitable.
Off in a paraplegic toilet, that one. But people are saying, you know, it's run its course. Maddie and Peter both want us to put up Jeff Fenwick talking about whether, well... I'm at a loss to explain what he's talking about.
I haven't heard this, so I'm looking. Can we play it?
It's a bit of a... I mean, if your phone was to ring this way... It's a bit of a long one for a ringtone, but let's hear it.
It's not a crime at all. Like I said, I can be with Frank today and tell him to shoot you. If he shoots you and I didn't mean to tell him, I'm just joking. They shoot me, you know? Just say he shot you.
Don't shoot me, Frank.
That's for sure. But I'm just saying, if I told Frank to jump off the Harbour, I've told you, mucking around at the front of the Harbour Bridge, you jump off the Harbour Bridge and you jump. I don't want you to jump off the Harbour Bridge.
Hey, Tane, your phone's ringing. That's your phone. I just heard it.
It's a bit of a long one.
Nah, we've got to do it.
We now have to do it.
Yep, it's done.
All right.
Consider it done.
Scams. Do you fall victim to scams, Glenn?
Oh, I like a good scam.
Would you ever give your bank details to someone?
No.
Well, someone just emailed you.
No, the only person I'd give it to is a Nigerian banker who's got access to 10 mil. He just needs my, you know, a couple of thousand to get it out of there.
That's
you know?
A smart move.
You ask anyone, a couple of thousand, 10 mil return, that's a good investment.
I heard a great scam the other day. You go, though.
No, you tell us yours.
Yeah, what they do is this is true, they go into and this happened to a mutual friend of ours, you go into a club and you find a girl that looks like the girl that's doing the scam.
Oh, yeah.
You steal her wallet.
Yeah.
Then if you need, you got the credit card, and then if you need photo ID, you look similar.
Yeah.
What they do is they later on that night, they ring you and say, oh, look, I've found your wallet, got your credit card, I'll get it back to you tomorrow at 12 o'clock. So what you do is you don't then cancel your credit card.
And they've got till 12.
Yeah, you've got till 12 to use the credit card, and bang, you're gone.
Isn't it just anything to do with your credit card is a scam? I mean, if it's something to do with your credit card that isn't buying something with it or getting a statement in the mail about it.
Yeah, it's a scam. Mm.
It's a scam.
What have you got? What have
phishing, it's called, with a PH.
Okay.
Listen to this. Banks are cranking up internet security as customers face a barrage of phishing scams to entice them to release confidential account details. Bank customers have been bombarded in recent years with fake emails encouraging them to update their details or visit a website.
I got that.
One bank executive said the scams often originate in Eastern Europe, but mules are recruited locally. Once the customer information is obtained, the account is drawn down to its daily limit, with the mule taking a cut and the remainder sent offshore. Commonwealth Bank yesterday warned of a new scam, a phishing scam, where customers are asked for their details so they can be credited with a $25 reward for completing a survey.
No, what? The banks never... If you fall for that, then they kind of deserve your money. Because one's going to think that a bank's going to give them 25 bucks for nothing.
Yeah. Hello, I need to get your account number so that we can register you with this Ukrainian casino. And then when your massive cash windfall occurs, we'll just credit it directly into your account.
Sounds fair enough. Yeah. Sounds like good. Do you know someone? Get me in on that?
That's bad fishing. But the mules. But I love the idea we've got bank mules.
Yeah, I'm digging that. But the thing is, I think you should know it's a scam if the email from the Commonwealth Bank also asks you if you need to enlarge your penis.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
That's the giveaway.
And how do you do that? You get out the garage door opener. Just testing Mr. Barsley.
He was clicking like mad then. You've got to do it, Richard. You have to do it now.
You have to do it manually.
No, Richard, you have to sing it. I can't stand how he does this.
Mate.
Oh, I love this scam. This is the best banking scam in years. Mules. Hey, don't forget, it's coming back on this show, the search for Australia's next top mule. Who will be the next darling of Dempazar? The next Keira Knightley of Keira Bogan. It's coming up. Have you heard Chappelle Corby's latest lawyer? Who was that wacky lawyer that she had?
Hot man.
Oh, he was cool. The guy with the jewellery and the cars. And
yeah.
The James Brown guy. What happened to him?
Didn't do so well. Not a great track record.
Oh, there's a new one. Check this out.
A lawyer claims he has evidence from a new witness.
There is. I mean, not somebody who owned the drugs, but somebody who knows that the drugs is not belong to Chappelle.
That's going to be fine. I reckon give her 2 weeks, she'll be out. She'll be back here.
Make a good ringtone.
Anything could be a ringtone.
Yeah.
Peter Costello, he could be a ringtone. Did you see him trying to wish John Howard a happy birthday yesterday? Have a listen.
I wish him a very happy birthday. And I hope that he enjoys the friendship of family and the good wishes of many, many people.
Oh, you didn't. That was where you didn't doctor that?
Oh, Maddie might have added a couple of more arms.
Nice work.
Glenn, how would you feel about a brand new segment on radio called What's Something Awesome You Did?
Can I participate?
You can.
I've got tons.
You've got to think of something awesome you did.
Okay, I will. I'll have a think.
All right, that's coming up next. Get
this. It's that bad. Yeah, I wouldn't waste my time. It's a shocker.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito on Triple M.
It's Get This on Triple M. Glenn Robbins is here. He's got some sort of challenge for me. What's this about?
Okay. Let's imagine that John Howard has an artificial implant, and the only way, every time he hears a garage door, he gets an erection. What would happen?
Oh, I'm Bootylicious. I'm still Johnny from the block. Check it out. I'm building a bridge to the next century. Whatever that might mean.
That was a real challenge. I didn't know I was going
to
do that.
Welcome to the... This is what we call the free part of the show.
I love a bit of free action. Free.
But it's normally you just go into a song.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no requirement to be amusing, as Greg Fleet likes to point out. But what Ed likes to do is play the opening bars of the next song.
I'll lay down some licks today, Glenn.
All right. Let's get started.
Your body is a wonderland.
I hate you. Marceline,
your body is a wonderland.
That is Ed Cavalier.
Your body is a wonderland.
I've never seen that expression on Glenn's face before. 20 years.
What is it? It's me using auto-tune. The point was that I'm a bad singer, right? So I sang badly. And then I thought I'd do a John Mayer impersonation because I think I can impersonate singers as opposed to singing.
Yeah.
Then Maddie cleans it up with auto-tunes and it sounds all right.
Yeah.
That's the result.
I did an album, a song for a charity album, and they auto-tuned me, and you listen back and you go, hey, I can sing. And listen to that, and I'm going, not bad.
There you go. All right.
That was a good John Mayer.
Thank you. Ringtone? Anyone? Anyone?
I'm impressed.
All right. Hit some air guitar if you can.
Sorry, here I go. A little something here. I can play tambourine at the same time.
See you on the other side. That's you too here at Get This on Triple M. Morning, if you're just joining us, it's me, Tony Martin. You've got Richard Marsden on the buttons. You've got Ed in the sidecar. You've got Glenn Robbins co-hosting.
I like the fact that you go up when you get to me. You didn't sort of, go down.
Didn't peter out.
It's a tiered program. Mm. Yeah. You're on the top tier, Glenn.
Yeah.
Because you're in that film Boytown that's coming out. We've been plugging it for...
Don't plug it too early. I know. Because it'll peak too early, then it'll, people will be disappointed. So just keep your powder dry. Just wait for it to...
Except that there's some... I haven't seen it, but there's some kind of clip in cinemas. I think if people who've seen the Adam Sandler film Click... It's got some kind of Boytown clip at the beginning. Can you say anything? Do you know?
Yeah, that's the clip. If you know the story of Boytown, is that it's a group that reforms in 2005, and that's their first clip when they come back.
It's you in leather pants.
It is.
And that's just the start of it. Obviously, we haven't been making jokes about the eight persons of interest in that P&O cruise story, because that's pretty ugly.
No.
But, you know, you've got to give credit to that woman who stood out the front of the court yesterday. Did you see her?
What did she do?
This woman stood out the front when Leo Silvestri was arriving to forget some more of his evidence.
Mm.
And she has this banner. She's printed it up and it says, Leo the loser. Sleazy, impotent, vile, narcissistic, woman-hating, sexual predator.
Whoa.
I think that's the exact description he has on his RSVP description on the internet, too. Look, it's an ugly case, obviously, but people who are there in the court, according to Jane Fraser in The Australian, are starting to collect what they're calling Silvestrisms.
What's that?
Things that pop out of his mouth. He's described himself as someone who likes to big knob himself. He thinks that people may have been having misconclusions about him.
That's true.
And claimed at one point, my mind wasn't with my brain at the time.
Yeah, that... So hard to get those two together.
Especially if you're big knobbing yourself.
It does look like he likes to big knob himself, that bloke.
Yeah.
So I don't know who that woman was out the front of the court. But
good honour.
Cheers. Beautiful font, too.
Lovely. Nice kerning tone.
I think that's compactor.
Mm, you'd know.
Possibly condensed.
Pauline.
What else? Now, Glenn, do you know who K-Fed is?
No.
So you don't have to know. It's not...
Is it politics?
No.
No, I have to ask, is it television?
Is it a serial?
Is it someone that's been voted off Big Brother?
Oh, nearly.
Nearly.
He'd fit in there real well.
Who was it?
Britney Spears' husband, former backup dancer, and I found out today he started his career at a car wash, then turned backup dancer, now he's turned a celebrity hand.
I hope he's still got those buckets.
Yeah.
He's like he's a big knobbing himself.
Yeah, massively.
He's always big knobbing, and he's now going to kick Justin Timberlake's ass. That's what he says.
Is he now?
Wow.
He's laid down the challenge. He reckons his rhymes are better than Hamilton's. Oh, sorry.
Them's fighting words.
I said Justin Hamilton, referring to a local comedian. Hello, Justin, if you're listening to Justin Timberlake.
Rhymes, Justin.
He's going to pulverise him.
Is he?
In terms of?
Just
his rhymes.
In a rhyming sort of.
I'm going to rhyme off.
There's going to be a battle.
Right.
And he's going to pulverise Timberlake. Now, we've been talking about. He's just done that with his hand.
I gave it some.
The rock and roll sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was called in our day.
A gun, was it?
Yeah, that was like a gun pointing down, like, what's up, y'all?
Yeah, six guns ablazing. Yeah. Coming to get you.
Hey, K-Feds apparently sucks on purpose, Tone. We've been punked by K-Fed.
Have we?
Well, we don't realise, right? What he says is that when his terrible single Papa Zhao came out, he said that he wanted people to think that he was a talentless wannabe rapper. Quote K-Fed, that way when I come out with my real, swear word, people are, swear word, blown away.
So he's deliberately put out a crap single to lower people's expectations.
Three. He's deliberately put out three crap singles.
Wow, it's an elaborate plan. It's
good
long-term investment. Well, let's have a listen to Papa Zoo. Ouch. Yeah. He's going to pulverise everybody with that. Does that sound familiar to you?
Does a bit.
Doesn't that just sound to me a bit like this?
Oh, there it is.
New Kids!
Pop it over the top, Rich. Can you play them both? I just want to hear New Kids keep going for a while. Maybe not as close as we thought, Tony.
Give it a go.
And if you do like the New Kids on the Block, you can see Glenn Robbins doing a few of their moves in the upcoming Boytown.
Yeah,
Speaking of great poets, do you get into Jamie's poetry on the Big Brother
game? I have heard a little bit of it. I heard you playing some of it sometime this week.
Mm. Oh, people love it. They do. Can't get it. Now, let's just hear it again.
The windows, not portals outward upon freedom of thought, but reflections inward into awkward introversion. These walls have seen strangers, faces so eerily blank and foreign. These faces have seen people, and tears will see them leave.
Faces so eerily blank and fine. Yeah. I reckon it's better than we give it credit for.
Really?
But, as we say, Glenn, anything that Jamie says can be a poem. Anything at all.
Okay.
So I got one of his poems last night.
I had a lot of options, perceived talent, friends going off doing accounting jobs, boring, not having fun. Deserved to be somewhere fun. Menial jobs, variety of things, a little bit of fun here and there. Being here, so lucky.
All right, yeah. Click, 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 clicking.
Everything he says is a poem.
He's amazing.
Do you want to play a game? I know I've been giving it way too much sizzle, but he's just come up with it today. It's called...
Well, what? We didn't have a phone topic, Glenn. And he said, and Tone said, what should we do as a phone topic? And I said, why don't we just ask people what awesome things they've done?
That's great.
And now I'm ready to hear it.
That'll be next. I'll get this. That's Santana and Rob Thomas. It's got a sudden ending there.
Someone just pressed stop on the...
Obviously, sudden ending Thursday here. Get this on Triple M, where Glenn Robbins is sitting in.
Yeah.
Glenn, we have a segment called Talk Back Mountain. You've taken part in it yourself.
Yes, I have.
Ed's not too happy with the theme, the little bit of music we have at the beginning.
Had an original jingle, which we identified as the Mountain Dude from
Absolutely.
Price is Right.
Yep.
I think that was with you that we discovered that.
No, it wasn't, but when I heard it the first time, I knew it, because I always liked it on Price is Right.
Brilliant. Brilliant game.
Yeah.
The suspense of him climbing up the little, and you're like, butter doesn't cost $6.18.
Yeah, and the guy's going, it's gone over the edge.
Sound. And then, then there was a remix, because someone got annoyed at it. Jessica, I think it was.
I call that the 88 remix.
Yeah, the 88 remix. And I've grown tired of that, Glenn. Uh-huh. But, you got something new for us, Tony?
I have a listen to this. Your sound effects there for you, Ed?
Take the climb. Climb up Talkback Mountain. There's no time. Hey, but we're not counting. Maybe if we had a shorter intro song, we'd be running on time for the first show since April 23.
April 23, that was the last time this show ran on time.
There it is. Oh, I will never grow tired of that. From the people that brought you Let's Startle Bob Franklin.
Why can't we startle him again?
Because he's never around.
We can't get the guy. Glenn, you've worked with Bob Franklin. How do you get him on the phone?
Yeah, no, he doesn't answer the phone. He doesn't return calls.
His agent doesn't know where he is.
That's right.
His agent doesn't even know the correct spelling of his name.
That's true.
Well, Tone, well done. I love it.
Could that constitute something awesome that I've done, Ed?
Yeah, man.
Because this is Ed's idea for the segment.
That's awesome. I know something awesome that Glenn's done.
Oh, what's that?
It came to me first. I heard a joke. Someone said, hey, there's this blah, 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 and told me this joke. And I said, that's hilarious. Who told you that? And they said, oh, well, it actually happened to someone that you know. I said, Glenn. I said, oh, really? What? And so I remember this, Glenn? But you were on a golf day.
Oh, here we go.
And you pulled a wonderful...
What did they say to you?
They said to me... They said, oh, look, they told me the joke. They told me a prank that someone had
and
pulled.
And it got back to you.
And that's it. And then I asked, and they said, oh, it was you.
And was that the story I told you the other day at lunch?
Yep.
I can't tell it.
You can. You can. I'll get you started. There was a golf day. And this is the good thing. The awesome thing is, Tone, the completely independent of Glenn, someone else had told it to me. A year later, word for word, the way Glenn had told it.
I think we need to hear it.
Come on.
Okay, giving a lot of sizzle.
I'm doing this under sufferance.
Yes.
And please don't judge me for this. I was playing a game of golf. Okay, I am juvenile. I was playing a game of golf. I was out of the hole. So when you're out of the hole, you're actually standing on the side. They were all putting out. While they were putting out, I went over to the bushes. I dropped my pants and I got a golf ball and I stuck it in the cheeks of my ass. I leant over. As they were walking off the green, I turned to them and said, has anyone seen an Optima 6?
And I got a 6.
And they fell over with laughter. Okay, job done. Okay, move on. What Ed is talking about is it was like wildfire through the people that I'm going to get thrown in my golf club. And I went, and the professional said to me, did you find your Optima 6? And I can't believe that, you know, hey, what happens on the golf course stays on the golf course. Now I'm doing it on national radio.
Did someone come over and try and play through?
And you just need to say Optima 6 to people now, and everyone knows what it means.
That was like a year and a half ago. And the girl that told it to me, no, never played a game of golf in her life, didn't even know that I knew Glenn, just said, hey, there's this great story. Wow. Yeah, that's awesome, Glenn.
So the bar has been raised. Here at What's Something Awesome You Did. When Glenn told that story, did I hear a noise? Like, what the hell's that?
That's the boing that Richard and I have chosen to signify something
Two
awesome.
Two guys came up with that.
It took us the whole song to decide which boing.
I don't think we have time for any more examples, Ed.
All right, let's do it.
This is what you have to do. Think of something awesome you did.
God,
that's today's challenge. Yes.
So call us up now, and the number is... Get ready, here it comes. Get a pen. That's right. Get a pen. Here it is. Call on 1-333-53-MMM. That's right, 1-333-53-MMM. Yes, it's 1-333-MMM. Now here's Nickelback.
What you'll like about that, Ed, is that I had to go to the music department and deliberately ask for Nickelback.
That must have been tough for you, Tony.
Oh, man. You're waiting to do the sketch work without the Nickelback?
Nah, neither. Hey, this is Glenn, I can honestly say this is the first time the phones have lit up. Your Optima 6 tale has paid off, my friend. Paid off.
And there goes my cred.
Glenn Roberts is with us as we're up Talkback Mountain.
It's going to take a while.
We're not having the whole song again. What's something awesome you did?
Hey, Dan. Oh, Danny there?
Yeah, he's
Dan?
Okay. He wants to hear the whole music.
Here
first.
I am.
Hey, Dan. Tell me something awesome you did.
I visited every 7-Eleven in the Brisbane area across 6 months.
How long did that take? 6 months?
6 months.
And what?
Like, I bought a map of the Brisbane area, got a whole stack of little red pins, and then 55 to start with.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the 6 months was over, 70.
And, you know, what was your procedure when you got there?
I had to go in and I had to purchase something, generally a Slurpee.
Oh, right. No, meet along lolly snakes?
Yeah, I like a good doc. 6 months of Slurpee headaches.
It's a bit like that guy who ate McDonald's for...
Not bad, except more pointless.
Yeah, more pointless. Yeah.
Hey, Dan, thank you very much. So we have to move on. We've got a lot today. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. What's something awesome you did?
I body slammed Rob Mills.
Oh!
Millsy from Australian Idol, that people tell me I look like a lot. What? When and why?
I was at a friend's house. It was in the wee hours of the morning.
Yep.
And we went outside and got my friend's extension ladder. He's a plumber.
Yep.
Took it into the room where he was sleeping with a female friend of mine, and I climbed up the ladder and jumped on him.
I love that you went and got a ladder.
As you do.
If we're going to do this, let's do it properly. I know where there's a ladder.
Yeah, it's quite Millsy. Hilarious.
Let's put a special effort in for Millsy.
Matthew, well done. Hello, Peter.
How you going?
Good. What's something awesome you did?
A few years ago, without any experience, I landed the role of Ned Kelly's dad in the Ned Kelly movie.
Oh, yes. Fantastic!
But that wasn't it. Doing makeup and that, I actually met Heath Ledger.
What?
And we were standing there talking and that, and he said something to me, and I didn't hear him because I was listening to the makeup lady. And he stood there for a few more minutes and then said it again, and I still wasn't really concentrated. I just said, oh, yeah. Anyway, a few minutes later, he's outside, and as I'm walking out, I said, oh, nice to meet you. And he's just ignored me.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, what's going on? And then as I'm walking away, I'm realizing he actually said to me, do you want to come outside and have a chat?
Oh.
And I've ignored him.
You're snubbing the big names,
Pete. I've gone and, so that's the end of my movie career.
That's Ned Kelly and his dad right there.
There it is.
Does sound very much like my relationship with my dad, I must say.
Yes, hello, Pete. Hello, Ross.
Hello, Ed.
Yes, hello, Ross. Now,
how are you going, mate?
I'm good. What's something awesome you
did? Well, something awesome that I did, you were involved in, I directed you in my first short film, No Regrets.
I believe I was wearing a pink T-shirt and a shiny shiny silver jacket in that one.
Yeah, and it was quite awesome because I got Ed to play a 40-year-old father of a 17-year-old girl. It was, I guess that was the highlight.
And a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah, no.
Sorry?
The father of a 17-year-old girl.
Well, that's right. Actually, Ed played two characters at once, effectively. So yeah, that was quite... But having to spend that amount of time with Ed... while he was big knobbing himself, it was quite difficult.
Nice word.
Thank you, Ross.
Hang on, we finished with Ross, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. No, you're not going to say anything to him, Martin. Hello, Nate. What's something awesome you did?
Hi. Well, I was working on a movie called Son of the Mask, which don't ever bother seeing.
Okay.
And I was Magda Szubanski's nose double.
Nose double?
How does one get into the nose double game?
Well, I was a personal assistant to the special effects makeup team, and they made this big mechanical nose for Magda to wear because she, in the movie, she's a nosy neighbour and she gets turned into this big mechanical nose that flexes and the nostrils flare and stuff. But she didn't like her head being inside this big mechanical nose and stuff was too close to her eyes and stuff. And so they said, don't worry, our assistant will do it. And so they put me in this giant nose. I had to wear all this cotton wadding so that I would fit into Magda's clothes. Anyway, and they had to stick, you know those fans that they have on boats?
Yes.
They stuck one up one of my nostrils so that I wouldn't pass out from the heat because I was in the nose for about 3 hours.
One of the giant nostrils, right.
Yeah, so that's my claim to fame. Well, and I was an extra with the main characters in the movie.
Wow.
I got to touch their faces and stuff because I was blind because I was a giant nose.
What do you make of that, Glenn?
Oh, when you went home and you got the part, did you say to someone, I got my nose picked today? Sorry, I've been waiting 2 minutes to do that joke. And the longer I waited, the worse it got. Because I didn't expect your story to go that well. And of all the nose stories I've heard, yours is probably the best.
Absolutely right. Thank you, everyone.
I did once play Magda's stunt double in a sketch.
Did you?
It was very poor casting. But is it time for us to go?
Yeah, we've run late.
Oh, look, what's something awesome we did. Ran over time yet again. Yeah. Thanks for coming in, Glenn.
Thank you very much.
Eventually, you'll come in here one day and we'll be able to say... Boytown is actually in cinemas.
Yes, hopefully.
It is coming soon. Thanks to everyone who called us up and took part. And our key phrase today, well, I don't think we can have any Sylvesterisms.
No.
That would just be in bad taste. So our key phrase is... You've just joined us. I can't help you. Oh, that felt good. And we'll be back tomorrow with Brian Nankervis. And it's all thanks to the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito Van of the Year.